It is an honor, a pleasure to be with you all this morning. I am a priest and rector of an Anglican congregation in Cochabamba, Bolivia. And I must say that I'm honored this morning to have two dear brothers and sisters and their family with us that live here in Nashville. And just that, having Diego and Katie and their son here reminds us once again that we are part of a global church, body of Christ, throughout time, throughout the ages. And that's what I'd like to talk about this morning. That's what Jesus would have us hear this morning. He invites all of us. All of us, regardless of our age or background, regardless of our nationality, he invites all of us to experience the abundance of his kingdom. In the Gospel of Luke and throughout his second volume in Acts, we learn that God's kingdom is abundant, that Jesus is enough, and that we can trust God to provide all that we need to follow him and to serve him. This morning we encounter Peter. He's going by the name of Simon still, but we do that in Bolivia. We have two names and you never quite know which one to use with people at times. This is Peter. He's heard of Jesus because Jesus has been healing and teaching, and the rumors are spreading throughout the land. Jesus has experienced on the sidelines the power of Jesus in the healing of his mother-in-law, something we find at the end of chapter 4 in Luke. But it's not enough to know about Jesus. It's not enough to just be there. We are called to experience and live out the abundant life in Jesus. So Peter, after a night of being out with his companions, fishing and catching nothing, is approached by Jesus. The crowds are pressing in, and Jesus asks to get in Peter's boat, and they pull off a bit from the shore. And Jesus teaches the crowds. And then Jesus turns to Peter and says, "Put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch." That was not the way to catch fish. Peter knew that. They fished near the shore and during the night, not during the day, and not in the deep. This went against Peter's experience. It was counterintuitive, and he grudgingly obeyed. Did you catch that? "This isn't the way I would do it, Jesus, but okay." And they went out, and Luke records that the catch was so great that the nets began to break, and the boats of Peter and the companions he had called began to sink. Can you imagine that? Jesus didn't do this to teach Peter a new fishing technique, a new way to get by, but in the old ways. In this event, in this encounter, Jesus reveals to Peter who he is and what the kingdom of God is like. The catch itself points to Jesus and the abundance of his kingdom. Throughout the Gospels, healings, exorcisms, miracles, all point to Jesus, the Son of God, our Savior, and the kingdom that he invites us into through him. And so every Sunday when we gather here Jesus calls to each one of us through the Word in the Eucharist to remind us, to reveal to us, and to call us into who He is. Our God, in all His wisdom, knows that Sunday in the morning, according to me, is not the best time to do these things. That the body of Christ, the people sitting next to us, aren't always the easiest people to experience the abundance of the kingdom with. But Jesus invites us then and through Scripture and the Eucharist and reveals to us who He is and invites us into the life of His kingdom. My brothers and sisters, in the abundance of this passage, we can be assured that Jesus is enough. The catch of fish, even if it's net breaking and boat sinking, will never be enough. I hope you catch what I mean. We will never have enough money. We will never have enough time. My husband will never do enough to meet my emotional needs. Jesus is enough. And He invites us, He calls us, He implores us to experience that. And then we see Peter's response. Peter's response to the sufficiency of Jesus Christ and the abundance of His kingdom. It lays bare His own self-sufficiency and the insufficiency, His own broken nets. Peter says, "Depart from me." He's broken in his sin and in his need. We might imagine him thinking, "You don't know me. You don't know my past. You don't know my secret thoughts. You don't know how I am behind the closed doors of my home. I am not worthy." We see the same response in Isaiah in the temple, confronted with the eternal majesty and glory of God. He says, woe is me. I'm a man of unclean lips. But Jesus is enough. And what He did for us on the cross, what we remember every Sunday, was sufficient to cover a multitude of sins on an hourly basis for the entirety of humanity throughout time and across the globe. This one Savior is enough for you and for me. I have both cultures of the United States and Bolivia in me after many years living abroad. At times I'm pulled by this U.S. culture and mentality that I've deserved it. I've been good enough. I've worked hard enough. But Jesus lays bare the errors of this. I encounter in the members of my congregation in Bolivia almost an opposite thought, that there is no abundance. If you love this person, that means I don't receive love. Love is limited. Resources are limited. Giving to one takes away from another. But we encounter in the kingdom of God abundance. Sufficiency for all and more than enough. Philippians says, "My God will supply," and supply means net breaking, boat sinking provision. I will cram you full to overflowing with everything you need to follow me and to serve me. But I think also in this brokenness and response of Peter, he realizes that he's been confronted with a choice to continue fishing as he had been at night, during the day, rather, and with a catch that one day might be good and another might be bad, or to leave it all and follow Jesus. When we encounter Jesus in the abundance of the kingdom, we are confronted with a choice. We can't return to the old places and dispensations and kingdoms, as we find in a poem of T.S. Eliot. Peter realized his brokenness and sin. He realized a choice needed to be made, and then he leaned into it. He gave up himself to the glory and abundance of our God. He was transformed and then experienced the abundant sufficiency of Jesus over and over again when he grew in faith and made egregious mistakes and offended people and even denied his Lord and Savior. But this very Lord and Savior continued to invite him out into the deep waters and to experience the abundance of his kingdom over and over again. And our Lord and Savior does that to each of us again this morning. But we can't stop there. As Jesus invites us into his kingdom and to experience his kingdom, he calls us to share the abundance of his kingdom with others. He calls us to participate in the abundance of his kingdom as catchers, as fishers of other men and women. Did you notice there in verse 10? It's quite funny. After everything that's happened, and Peter and his companions are amazed, Jesus says to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Don't be afraid. As if we wouldn't think this would be the most daunting task. When we feel a nudge in the office place or the classroom to ask someone else how they're doing and what God's been doing in their lives, when we're prompted by the Holy Spirit to share, we feel this deep existential fear. In the Gospel of Luke, we continually hear this phrase, "Don't be afraid," before angel encounters. Remember that from Christmas and the stories of the shepherd, Mary, Simeon? Jesus, our God, always announces, "Don't be afraid," before the kingdom burst in to ordinary lives and through ordinary lives like yours and mine to make all things new. Let's not forget, my brothers and sisters, that Jesus provides all we need for us and for our salvation, but also for that of others. Let's not forget about the crowds that are pressing in or may appear to be drifting off, but want to hear and know about Jesus, about forgiveness, about new life in him. In Luke, Jesus needs to share, and the people want to hear. Jesus transforms and forms Peter and the disciples. And then as we go on in Luke Acts, he sends his Holy Spirit at Pentecost, so that this work is no longer limited to physical space and time, but multiplied exponentially throughout the globe. Seems like there could have been an easier way than to use a person like Peter or a person like me. But God apparently knows what he is doing when he calls Peter, when he calls me, and when he called you. As we see in the gospel and in Isaiah and throughout God's story, God uses people where they are and with the talents they have. He uses Peter and his boat for a specific purpose, to teach the crowds. And then Peter was ultimately called to leave that, to leave this business that had literally taken off overnight, to carry out a specific call as a teacher and leader in the church. The passage we read today in Isaiah 6, I heard at a high school camp right before my freshman year, and I experienced a call to full-time ministry. I did not know what that would look like. I never imagined I'd end up on the other side of the equator in Bolivia. But Jesus, our Lord, abundantly provided and showed the way one step at a time. And I'm so thankful to serve where I do. And I'm thankful to be able to share about that with you all this morning. Some are called to full-time ministry, but all of us are called as ministers and members of the body of Christ, and to share Jesus in our boats, in our context, in our neighborhoods, in our studies, in our scouting groups, in our professions. So I conclude asking, where has God strategically placed you? What abilities and opportunities and relationships are around you that God could use? I understand here at St. George's, there are many opportunities, diverse opportunities in which you can minister and share with others. You can look for your small group leader, Joe, one of the clergy, someone on the vestry, and ask how you can get involved, how you can be further trained and empowered to follow through on that nudging I know some of you are experiencing this morning. I encourage you to lean into and fully experience the abundance of the kingdom of God. But first, I also ask, if you've been transformed by Jesus, if you have experienced his sufficiency in your own life, have you experienced what only Jesus can fill? Have you left your nets and decided to follow Jesus? Have you experienced the abundance of his grace, forgiveness, renewal, and the power of his Holy Spirit? Jesus invites all of us once again this morning to experience that. And I am convinced that this good work that God has started at St. George's, he will carry it to completion. I can envision the catch, the net breaking, boat sinking catch that our God is working here at St. George's, in your ministries and missional communities, and at La Trinidad, in Bolivia, and throughout his globe. Let us pray. Our holy God, we thank you that in your holiness, you call to us and you provide for us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And we pray that the abundance of your love and grace would transform each and every life, those of us present here this morning, and that it would also equip and empower us to be part of this great catch of your kingdom, to participate in the abundant life in Jesus Christ. And may all of this be for your honor and glory. We pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.